Now listen and answer your questions.
Good afternoon and welcome to this special seminar on what I believe is one of the most exciting ways in which science and technology have merged, namely through what has become known as nanotechnology. While it may be true to say that many inventions in the world of technology have been large scale, nanotechnology proves that it's possible that what is bigger will not necessarily be best. For nanotechnology involves the science and ability to create something extremely small using computer and electronic technology. If we look back at the past, we see the pocket watch as an example of this. And in its day, this watch was much admired, something small that could fit into a pocket and yet still function as well as a larger-sized watch or clock. Of course, to find a more recognisable starting point for nanotechnology, we need to look at the world of electronics. Certainly, electronics clearly showed that smaller was better. In fact, the smaller the electronic gadget, the more effective and useful it is. Now, those of you who attended my lecture on electronics last week will remember that I spoke about how earlier radio technology was quite awkward and difficult to operate. Then, after World War II, the transistor was developed, which changed the face of radio. This involved a series of electronic switches that could be placed on a board no bigger than a postage stamp. This meant that an entire electronic circuit could be built in a much smaller area. Naturally, this was not only faster, but it also saved space and, more importantly, energy. For those of you who are interested in the transistor, come speak to me afterwards and I'll give you a copy of my handouts from last week. But moving on with the subject of today's talk, the development of the electronic chip meant that we began to use terms like microchip, and in doing so place importance on its size being vastly smaller. But as this form of microtechnology developed and literally became smaller, the word micro, meaning one millionth, was replaced with the word nano, which literally means one billionth. There were pessimists who doubted whether a transistor that small would actually work properly, but they were proved wrong, and in a modern transistor, what is known as the gate length, or distance the electrons have to travel, is only about 40 nanometers. I'm sure you will agree, this is unbelievably tiny, and not only that, the electrons can travel incredibly fast. And as scientists continue to develop these transistors, there is every chance that they may become even smaller. Of course, one of the problems with developments and designs in technology is that they must not only be practical, but also affordable. So it might be that companies will not continue supporting nanotechnology if it turns out to be too expensive to produce in the long term. But one area where there has been major improvements is medicine, where nanotechnology is being used to fight life-threatening diseases like cancer. Recently, an American university discovered that nanotechnology can be used to help make systems that supply drugs to the body. A quick way to make sure drugs enter the body is by making artificial molecules. These are in the shape of a star and are small enough to go into cells and release the drugs. In this new system, the molecule is made of two star shapes connected by a strand of DNA. Each shape is roughly 3 to 4 nanometers long. At one end, the star molecule will enter the diseased cell, while at the other end there is a tracking device, which is fluorescent so that it can light up when it has reached a diseased cell. It is hoped that this will be a more effective way to fight diseases. But we must not forget that dangers will always exist in the world of technological changes. One I'd like to focus on is as yet unproven and is still the subject of much speculation. It involves the idea that a molecular machine could be built using something called an assembler. This means one machine would make another machine, but of course these machines would be operated by people. However, some scientists are concerned that there is a real future possibility these machines could replicate themselves and so no longer be controlled by human beings. But while anything in the world of chemistry is probable, I think it's highly unlikely that we could ever develop a machine capable of replicating itself. Still, if anything, it shows that nanoparticles, like any technology, should be carefully and constantly monitored. Next week, I will be looking at nanotechnology and recent developments in the field of molecular biology. I hope that you will be able to join me then.